So we're going to pick up today with the Rambam and Perek Shnayos. Let's try to get a basic understanding over here of Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYachid. All right. I mean, the goal is to get the right balance. You know, we're not trying to get the ultimate idea of Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachid, and we're not trying to just restate the you know the facts. We're trying to get some basic concept over here of Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYachid. Now let's start with Rishus HaYachid. Okay. Let's start with Rishus HaYachid. So the Rambam says that what? He says interesting is that the Rambam seems to be defining Rishus HaYachid as what? I mean, his opening line is what?
Not Rishus
Rabbim, right? I mean, that's an interesting thing, the way the Rambam structures it. And right, the Rishus Rabbim he gives like a positive quality to, of the Drichas Rabbim, or the Mokum Shebokimbo Rabbim, Shrabbim Bokimbo, but then in Rishus HaYachid, he sort of is saying it's like the negation of that, right? And it seems that's why he was forced to reorder the Braisa, right? Because the Braisa really opens with Rishus HaYachid. Isn't that true? But and even the Rambam in the Yad, I think he orders it, right? Rishus HaYachid first. But in describing it, he starts with Rishus HaRabim. Even though the Mishnah, even though the Braisa doesn't, yeah. Somebody is there? Yeah. So Rishus HaRabim, let's just have it just generally, just for the purposes of analyzing Rishus HaYachid right now. He's saying it's a mokom. How do you have it? What's the lashon you have? Shebokimbo Rabim? No, the Shebokimbo Bokimbo is Rishus HaRabim. Yeah. And then Rishus HaYachid is She'ein HaRabim Bokimbo.
Right.
Okay. And then what? The Shi'uro. And then he has the Shi'ur. Right? What's the lashon you have? Right. Yeah. So the mishnah. So the Braisa has two cases, right? It has the case of what? Of the charitz and the omid, basically. Right. The elevated makom and the depressed makom.
Right.
Correct. It doesn't have a case of mechitzos. Right. So the Rambam is saying that what? What's the idea of Rishus HaYachid? What's the shear? What qualifies the makom as Rishus HaYachid? Right. He's saying Rishus HaYachid is like a three-dimensional makom, right?
Mm-hmm.
It has three dimensions. It's interesting how he puts it. Right, and he emphasizes that because he says if it's lacking in one of these three. In one of these three dimensions, it's not Rishus HaYachid. Right? So Ram is saying that what? That the Mokom has to have the quality of, it has to have a certain functional area, right? That's the length and the width, 4x4. But it has to have a quality of, now height is a hard word to use, because height implies to us higher than the but the dimension of height height implies higher than the ground around it, but the charetz is the opposite, lower, right? But the Rambam is saying it has to have a shear in that third dimension of 10. Doesn't matter whether it's elevated or depressed, in either case It has a quality of that third dimension. I know it's somewhat vaguer at this moment, but the question then is, how do you get to the mechitzos?
Right.
Right? How do you get to mechitzos? How do you get to mechitzos? And he has to come back and emphasize in the end that the mechitzos have to be 10 fachim high, and have to have a space of 4x4 within them. So, doesn't seem like you can accomplish. I mean, how is he trying to accomplish the third shear in the makom through machitzos, when that seems to be a shear in the makom itself. As you say that, but it's elevated. So okay, I understand. It's qualified by has a quality of ten tefachim. Or if it's depressed, I understand. But he's trying to extend that concept to mechitzos. Now the way the Rambam looks at it is, it's an interesting way. Theoretically, it's interesting because he's saying that the Braisa is really giving you the essential thing. In the case of the Omid and the Choritz, right? And the case of mechitzos is sort of an application. It's like a way of you can accomplish this through mechitzos as well. But definitively, it's Omud and Choritz. Definitively, it's a quality in the makom, right? Where the makom itself has the quality by its position. But somehow mechitzos, he's saying, can also somewhat impose this quality on it, right? But if it's a quality of elevation, it has to be. If you're going to say it's just, it has to be different from sea level by 10, then the mechitzos is not possible. It's not possible to supply that. It's not possible to supply something like that, right? So what is the quality of the gova that you can supply it artificially with a mechitza? Right? It's clear. I mean, one thing that's clear from the Rambam is that this is not just an arbitrary shear of 10. Right? It's a way of actualizing a makom shein rabim bokem bo. It's a way of embodying a makom shein rabim bokem bo. It seems. I mean, the 4x4 is not. The 4x4 has nothing to do with the, whether it's 4x4 has to do more with whether it's a makom. Right? Did you get to the makom patur? Right, because that's not a makom at all. It's not an independent makom. But so the 4x4 is not going to make it a makom shein rab. So obviously it has to do with the gova that
so is the gova just a like a hafka?
In other words, just trying to get a basic idea here, right? In other words, that it's not a quality in the makom per se. It's not that you need elevation, but yud, ten tfachim, is what breaks it from the access of the rabbin. Right. Now it has to have the quality of ten tefachim is not that it has to have the quality of ten tefachim per se. I hope you understand what I mean by that. I'll clarify what I mean by that. I don't want to just throw out the term. Hold on. But it means the ten tefachim is a functional concept of differentiation from the other rishus, from the rishus of rabbim. Right, it has to be completely broken from the drichas harabim. So that's why it has to have the gova of 10. It has to have the gova of 10 to be differentiated from the other rishus. So that's why he's saying that you can accomplish that with mechitzos as well. Mechitzos won't make the elevation of the makom 10, right? But it'll make it differentiated by 10. You understand? That's really what you're looking for. You're looking to differentiate this makom because it's really, he's not defining it positively. He's defining it as removed from the other rishus, from the rishus rab. So he's saying the removal is by ten tefachim. So then, you can accomplish it by a geder. A geder is also a type of a removal from another rishus. The only thing is, that's why he comes back. Don't think the geder is different. Don't think the geder is different. I'm not sure exactly why he has to come back with the geder. But don't think the geder. Apparently, without having the geder itself, maybe you think the geder is a different type of an obstacle, and it doesn't have to be ten tefachim. So you know, it's the same thing. The geder also has to be the geder itself has to be ten tefachim, because that would be the makom would be differentiated by ten tefachim. Either it's in the makom itself, or it could be by an obstacle surrounding it. Okay, but what are the mechitzos doing for the Rambam? They're really just accomplishing, in an artificial way, the quality that the omud and the koritz have intrinsically. Right? Okay. But did you see Rashi? But it's interesting. You see Rashi on Vav Amud Beis. The question is, what does it mean as Rishus Yachid Gemura? Right? What does it mean it's a Rishus Yachid Gemura? That's not the Bikiyas Rabban. Right? In other words, when he's saying Vishiuro, he's saying, how do you create, in the Ram again, I'm sorry, how do you create a negation of Drichas Rabban through these dimensions? The 4x4 is the Makom, and the 10 is the negation of Bikiyas Rabban. The hollow. Yeah.
Yeah.
The area of the Makom. But the space in between the walls. He means the space in between the walls. So Rashi on Vav Amud Beis says, what does it mean it's a... The Gemara says, what does it mean it's Gemura? So Rashi says, Gemura means... What does Gemura mean? So Rashi says, it means... Shenigmuru minyan mechitza. It's coming to exclude Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds two mechitzas is enough. So the Rabban says, this one is Gemura. What does it mean, Gemura? It doesn't imply that there's a half Rishus Yachid. It doesn't imply that there's a Rishus Yachid that's not Gomor. Right? That's the problem with Gemura. What does it mean? What does it mean this is a Rishus Yachid that's Gemura? And what's not a Gemura Rishus Yachid? So it means, Shenigmaru Minyan Mechitzos Shalof. It means it has its requisite Mechitzos. It has its requisite Mechitzos. That's how Rashi's learning. Right? So he goes to explains it. How do you have them the mechitzos? So by the charetz, it's not a problem because it has actual mechitzos. You're surrounded by from the floor to the top is the earth is a wall. Yeah, natural, unnatural, whatever it is. So but what about the geder? Right, and here again, for all you people who are unsure about which part of the geder, what the geder meant, right? He's saying the top of the geder itself is mukaf mechitzos through the principle of good asik. It's interesting, Rashi, through the principle of good asik. So now it turns out that when you're standing on top of the amud, right, you are surrounded by mechitzos. You're surrounded by mechitzos. What kind of mechitzos? Our favorite kind. Halachic mechitzos. Huh? I mean, it wouldn't be good for Hezek Re'ia. But halachically, he's saying it's considered mukaf midalit sedadim. Yeah. Interesting. So what do you see from Rashi here? What do you see from Rashi here? It's interesting. He needs mechitzos. He needs dafka mechitzos. It's interesting, my chlokish from Rashi and the Rama.
What's the pshat on here? The philosophical mechitzos?
No, halachic.
Yeah. How do you get the halachic?
It's halach l'mashmi sinai. Good asik is halach l'mashmi sinai. That we say if there's a... we say a mechitz is considered to extend upward forever. So
why do we need a
mock-out on the...
Right.
Why do I need a mock-out like that? Because that's the sasam dom bezecha. That doesn't prevent the fall.
Unless you're a very halakha person.
Yeah, what do you mean? I mean, if halakha is reality, there's no way I could fall. That halakha mechitza will catch me.
Right.
We'll do an experiment.
You couldn't put up a mechitza of reeds wouldn't help you either on the makia.
Right.
It's not going to help you. I'm saying for makia, it's a different question. Makia is not a question of delineating space. Right. Makia is a question of safety. So you can't cross the spheres. You know what I mean? Mechitza by Shabbos, you say, is delineating space. Balabatish is enough, right? Enough of a simple definition. Delineating space, let's say. So that might, so you might be able to say that halachically it's considered a mukaf in that respect. But that doesn't mean that makkah is not a delineation of space. Makkah is safety. Yeah. So just, I mean, it's just interesting to see how the two Rishonim take the same same facts. You know, the approach is interesting to see because we, and it was bothering us yesterday, right? I mean, we all know the most fundamental case of Rishus Yachid, you would say, is an area surrounded by mechitzos. And yet the Gemara doesn't, the Brisa doesn't mention mechitzos. It mentions these other cases. So the Rambam held that these are really the main idea. Right? These are really the Iker idea. And then mechitzos, you can derive from here, or you can try to recreate this thing through mechitzos. But Rashi learns, no, mechitzos, it seems Rashi's learning the Iker is mechitzos. And it's just giving you cases that are chiddush, that these are mechitzos. You understand? It's giving you cases that are chiddush, that it's mechitzos. It doesn't need to give you the basic mechitzos case. Now, so, like I said, I don't want to go too far at this point either. I don't want to be foolish to try to give a an overarching svara of Rashi and the Rambam from one point, and then try to cobble everything into that later. You know, so, but it would just seem it would seem, if you were making an observation, yeah.
It seems like Rashi Holta does have to have its independent character.
Correct.
Find it relative to.
Correct. It does seem that that's the question of here. Something to keep in mind. And see if we can verify, but it does seem that that it stems from a question of whether Rishus HaYachid is the negation of Rishus HaRabim, whereas it doesn't, meaning it doesn't have an intrinsic character to it. You can only define it as an opposition of Rishus HaRabim, right? So then essentially the opposition is the tenth fachim, and mechitzos are irrelevant. They're just part of the differentiation. But you could differentiate it without mechitzos through the gova of the makom itself, as opposed to Rashi, who seems to be saying that Rishus HaYochid can be defined, has its own character of enclosure, of an enclosure, right? And then only mechitzos creates enclosure. Right? Yeah. All right, so I want to read Ram, so doing Ram. There are questions about there are different gear sos over here in this halacha. Yeah. Yeah, read your gear, sir.
Arosh is a Shabbos. Shis Yachid, which is Ram, Kamuis, and Makam Pacha.
Makam Pacha, okay, good.
Ezo, which is Ram. With Baros, Yarim.
So Ram, oh, you have Yarim. That's good. A lot of gears have Ayaros.
Ayaros?
Cities.
Oh.
Right, you have Yarm? Oh, yeah.
I have Yarm.
Yeah.
What's Yarm?
Forests.
What's Yarm?
Cities. Yeah, the other one is Ayaros. Yeah, so the Ram says, the Ram dispenses with the description now. Right, it doesn't talk about the concept of the makom drichas rabim. He just tells you the halacha.
Yeah.
What are they? So I think that the proper girsa is yara. So it's what? It's deserts,
yeah.
Forests,
Shvakim, which is like squares,
right, markets,
and
the paths that are open to them,
yeah.
Right?
I don't think the Kavach doesn't have the shvakim.
Doesn't have that at all?
Yeah.
What does he have?
It just has Vibaros Vyarim
Usados.
The what?
Vibaros Vyarim Usados.
Oh, he has Sados?
Yeah.
And then Drachim?
Drachim on the Kalashim. That's it.
Uh-huh. What, a Carmelis? No.
I thought
Bika is a good question. He has a Sada? That's interesting.
Yeah.
How do you?
Yeah, Vyarim the Sados. Yeah, that's in some of the older texts also.
And what is it by Carmelis?
Yeah.
He says, Kamus, he has Hayomim Vabika, right? Hayomim Vabika. The problem is, the Avraham Ben Aram says Asada is the Kamus. He says it openly in the Tshuva.
Well, he says,
"Who? You are in Vishvakim." That makes sense.
That's what Avraham Ben Aram says.
Oh, okay. Well, that's why he says so. There's a karmas. What'd you say, Fish? First.
Well, it says in the Shilas Tshuva, Avraham Ben Aram. Here, it has like every single different text that there is out.
Okay. So does it say which is the right one?
It just gives you all the options.
But you said he has soda.
Yeah, I got some.
Oh, is that, you're using Machon Mamre?
Machon Mamre.
So it's not Kavach, it's just Temani, it's Stal Temani.
Okay, anyway, so let's stick with let's stick with the Yoram and the Magi Mishnah is Yoram Midboros, Yoram Vashrakim. So it's the deserts, the forests, the markets, and the ways that are open to them. Okay, go ahead. Ubilvad.
Ubilvad, yeah.
Okay. Provided that the width of that derech is 16 amos wide and not an open air. Open air. We'll have to see. We'll have to see where that comes from. Okay, so the problem is this. The problem is, how does the Rambam say a midbar is a Rishus HaRam? Okay, so the Magen Mishnah? Because you'll remember our Gemara, our Bryce over here says what? It says a midbar counts. It doesn't have midbar in the first thing, and it says in the Carmelis. Does it have it in Carmelis? What? Yeah, it doesn't have midbar, right? It doesn't have midbar. And then the Gemara says, what? The Gemara says there's another braisa that does have midbar, correct?
What? Sorry?
There's another braisa that does have midbar, right? On Amud Beis, Vav Amud Beis. And the Gemara says, Lo kasha, kam bizman shisro shruim b'midbar, kam bizman hazeh. Right, and what does Rashi say? He agrees with the Gemara. But he not only that, he explains it. And he says, Bizman Shah Yisrael b'midbar chashiva rishus harabim. When the Jews were in the desert, then it was a rishus harabim. Bizman hazeh eino mokom hiluch l'rabim d'holchei midbaros lo shchichi. But bizman hazeh, it's not a rishus harabim. Because it's not a place where the rabim go. It's not common to find them there. There's no drichas harabim.
Doesn't specifically mean arab, any rabim. In theory, other people were...
Who? The Rashi?
Yeah, saying he says it doesn't mean specifically because it was the Jews or whatever. It means the fact that there was a mass of people or whatever.
Yes, that's what the Magen Mishnah says. Go ahead, take a look at the Magen Mishnah. Who was reading the Magen Mishnah? So the Magen Mishnah says, you see from the Gemara that only if there's drichas harabim is the midbar considered rishas harabim. He shouldn't have just said stam deserts and forests. So anyway, so the Rambam should have said the midbar and the yorim when the Rambam are using it, when there is a big encampment going through there, when it's common like that. And Rashi clearly disagrees because Rashi says Carmelis. That's a question. What the word Carmelis means. Right, what its etymology is. Lashon Ya'ar v'Karmel she'ena lo hiluch todi l'rabim v'lo tashmish liyachid. The Rashi clearly says a forest is not a rishus rabim. The Rashi also calls it b'chol Karmelis midbaros v'ya'aros, and the Rashi also, I think it's in the Torah Sivayis. The Rashi also says a Karmelis is a desert and Ya'aros. Right, so the question is, where does the Rambam get this idea that a midbar is a shush rabbim? Okay, so go ahead. Enter Rambam and Rambam in the Kesef Mishnah.
the Rabbeinu, Mashmas Rabbeinu, the Stada.
Right. So Avraham says that when Bnei Yisrael were living in the Midbar, then their tents were ordered there, right? Their encampment was orderly. So then the desert to them was like a valley and a field. It's like a valley and a field. Umayt dami luhu, and things that are like that. Ubizman azeh she'ein Yisrael dorim bo ela kol mi sheyirtzeh holich over besocho hu rishus harabim. The time of the Mistavrahu. So I don't know, is he specifically answering this question on the Rambam? It's funny the way he speaks about it, but I didn't see the actual tshuva. But the point is that what he learns the Gemara the opposite way, right? That when it says Kan bizman sheyisrael shruim b'midbar kan bizman azeh, he learns the opposite from Rashi. He learns that when the Jews were there, that's when it was not a rishus harabim. When it was, and now it is a rishus harabim.
So what was the tzar by Mishkan?
From the tents.
The tents would, but outside the area of the Machaneh would not have been.
What's that?
Because wouldn't the Mishkan have been bechlal the rishus yachid?
No, it's not a rishus yachid. It's a karmelus thing.
Then the whole midbar is where's the rishus harabim?
Malkum b'tur. Why? It was not dal. You didn't have four tefachim to walk.
Where?
Yeah. Okay, well, the simplest case of Otzal Midaraisa is they're on the, they would load the wagons from the Derech. There definitely was a Derech. The Derech is definitely Rishus Rabbim. The way the wagons were traveling, that's where they learned the 16 Amos wide from. So they would load them from there up into the wagon. The wagon was Rishus Yochid. And then they'd unload them from the wagon to the floor.
In the Midbar itself, it's saying.
Nobody disagrees that the Midbar, everybody agrees the Midbar, that you learn Rosh Hashanah Rabbim from Midbar too. He's talking about the Machaneh. When the camps were set up, then the sand in front of everybody's house was not considered a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim.
The Midbar itself was still a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim.
It's a good question. I mean, all the outlying areas of the Midbar. Mastavra, he's just saying it depends on the way you use the Midbar.
I'm just confused. Can you say the facts again?
Let's clarify something. Which facts do you want?
I had it straight until I wrote the Rambam.
Okay, that's good. So he's learning like this. He's learning that what? That the Midbar, Bizman Azeh, is a Rishus HaRabim. Right? And Bizman, Shabnei Yisrael Yishruim, but it was not a Rishus HaRabim.
What was not?
It would seem the Midbar contained within the Machaneh is what he's talking about, right? Because he says vayu Machaneh osem sedurim bo hayu legabon kimo bika v'soda.
The Gemara doesn't make any sense because it's not talking about the same thing.
Or maybe it's a good question. Does he mean the soda? Does he mean the desert outside of where they are? I don't know. We have to put that on hold until we can see if we can understand the idea he's trying to explain.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead. So, but anyway, but pshat wise, he's saying that what? That Bizman Azeh, why is it? Let's focus on why it is a Rishus Rabbim. Bizman Azeh. Why? Bizman Azeh, this is the part to focus on. Right. It's not clear if he means. In other words, the question what you're asking is dependent on, does Dricha Sarabim mean Dricha of Jews? Right.
He seems to be saying not, because he's saying that the Dricha of Jews only significant so far as it prevents people from going over the line.
No, I would say he seems saying it is, because he's saying...
Isn't he saying that?
Because he's saying when the Jews were all orderly and in the Midbar, right? So then nobody apparently was traveling in the Midbar. The Midbar was not a makom of Dricha Sarabim.
The whole Midbar, or just where
the whole Midbar. I'm saying, I'm giving you a possibility, okay. Right? Seems like that. He's saying the Midbar was not a makom. Because it's talking about the whole Midbar. It'd be hard to say that when it says the Midbar Bizman Azeh versus the Midbar in the time of the Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, it's talking about the whatever square miles that they were actually on. Right? That's not Mashmah that way. Mashmah is talking about the whole Midbar, both times. So then you'd have to say that since the Jews were all camping in one spot, they weren't traveling around in the Midbar. Nobody was using the Midbar as a makom of travel. Right?
But it doesn't have to do with Jews per se. Right? It could be because of anybody who prevented people from being from a makom of traveling.
How were the Jews living in the Midbar preventing the whole Midbar from being a makom of traveling? I'm not saying conclusively. I'm saying it would make sense if you would say that. It would make sense that if you would say Drichas Araba means Jews, so then that's why he says Bisman, doesn't he say
everything, because they were all living there.
Right. Oh. Maybe. You have to think about
it.
What does he say in Kol Mishayirta then? Ubisman is there She'ein Yisroel Dorim Bo. Right. Ela Kol Mishayirta meaning Jews. Right, let's not get sidetracked.
And individuals.
Yeah, why does he have to say Bisman is there? Who cares if the Jews are living there or not? That doesn't affect you. It doesn't affect whether people can go in the Midbar or not. Jews weren't the scariest people to run into.
How do they have a child about child? They never had that themselves.
They didn't. No. They didn't travel. You don't learn from. You learn from the things that they. From the things that I mean. You learn from the things that they did in the Mishkan. So traveling, just like Tochein. It's something they did in the Mishkan. Doesn't mean they did it on the Shabbos.
I'm just saying in terms of the coming.
Let's try to focus, though. Let's try to focus, okay? Focus on what he's saying over here by the Rishus Rab. He's saying, Bizman Azeh, why is the Midbar a Rishus Rabim? Because anyone who wants can go through it. Right? Now, continue.
U'le'inyin
Yorim. So Yam and Bika, we know, are Carmelists. So why isn't the Yam, according to this idea, they should also be Rishus HaRabim? Anyone can go. Right? Now, you have to understand, theoretically, you have to follow his argument, saying, now, according to Rashi, Rashi doesn't have a problem of Yam and Bika, because Rashi seems to be learning a Rishus HaRabim is a well-trodden path. Right? So, Yam and a Bika are not. So, if I tell you Rishus HaRabim is an active thoroughfare, right, so then there's no question why is a Yam and a Bika not Rishus HaRabim, right? But now Avraham Ben Aram is lowering the bar. Just saying, he sounds like he's saying anything that is open to the Rabim. According to Rashi, it sounds like he's saying Rishus HaRabim is an actual, has to do with an actual function. Right, and that's why he says Bizman Zeh, not many people travel. It's not enough to consider it an active thoroughfare. Right? But now you're gonna say the Rambam just holds potential. Right? So if it's just potential, then everything. So now he's gotta explain why the potential of the Yam and Bika are different from the potential of the Midbar. Once you're gonna say you don't need actual, then it gets more difficult to explain. So you guys, so why is the forest and why is the forest like the Midbar? Right? It becomes difficult now. Midbar is somehow a paradigm, right? And now you gotta explain why a forest is like a Midbar and why an ocean and a Bika are not.
So Shayam in Tashmishu Nach Biyar.
So the Yam is not so hard. Right. Turns out the Yam is not so difficult. Because it's difficult to travel on. Now he comes up with a strange idea. So he says it's true that a person... So he says the Yam is not as easy as the forest to go through. So that's why the Yam is not. That's why it's not a problem that the forest is a Rishus HaRabim and the Yam is not. Okay, because it's it doesn't. There's a certain. certain minimal requirement of potential usage. The potential uses of the yam is not as great as the potential uses of the forest. But why is a bika less than a forest? That's the real problem.
What is
a bika? Valley. It's a valley. Why is a bika less than a forest? So he says, now he comes up with a strange idea. He says that you're right. In terms of the ease of travel, they're the same. In terms of the ease of travel, it seems that they're the same. Right? But now he comes down to an actual idea. Now he says, yeah, but practically speaking, people don't go in the bika and they go in the forest. So he starts off with an idea of potential.
Who goes?
So that's the problem. To answer the midbar, he goes to potential, right? But then to answer the forest and the bika, now he goes to actual.
And then at the end,
he says that the ya'ar now has a derech like the midbar. Right, now he's going back to derech. Right. He says the ya'ar has the derech like a midbar, which is strange. Like, he didn't seem to think derech implies like a real path, but there's no real path in the midbar. People just go wherever they want, right?
In a ya'ar.
He's saying since people have to go get forest firewood, they trod through the forest, and now it has a derech like a midbar.
I think
yeah.